What have you observed in terms of the use of bevacizumab in this situation in terms of hypertension, proteinuria, and also bowel perforation?
So the only toxicities that are unique to ovarian cancer that we've seen are bowel perforations. And the risk of bowel perforations is probably twice what it is in the non-ovarian cancer patient. So if the colon cancer patient or the lung cancer patient has a risk of 1% to 2%, then it would obviously be, you know, maybe 3% to 5%. And we think that the further you go in the number of regimens, the higher the risk. We suspect that if you're partially obstructed, that that's a higher risk. But I think we all know what we're talking about. Bevacizumab interferes with wound healing. And if you get a partial perforation or a microperforation, a gastric ulcer, a chronic diverticulitis, on bevacizumab, it's difficult to heal. And that causes a bowel perforation. But hypertension, proteinuria do not seem to be higher, and we certainly know how to deal with those. But because recurrent ovarian cancer is a uniformly lethal disease, I would hate for someone to stop bevacizumab because of asymptomatic proteinuria, only so they can progress and recur and die from their ovarian cancer. So I think that medical oncologists have a history of monitoring proteinuria in the adjuvant setting. Okay. Where some patients are cured no matter what you do and you can't afford to hurt them. And then translate that into what they're doing in ovarian cancer and get nervous when the patients are becoming proteinuric. So I think, again, it's all about individualization. And I think the good news with bevacizumab in recurrent ovarian cancer is that the risk of arterial thrombosis, because these are women, is less than if you're treating a lung cancer patient, because many of those are men.